You? 1 year. When's your birthday? March 30. 2 days before you. One of my best friends, April 1st. He's hilarious. How's everybody doing? Very good. If you are a visitor and you're not happy to be here, we will pray that you have a good time before you leave. And if you are a spy looking for garbage on us, we are all sinners and all of us are messed up. Amen. You can start with me. I did cocaine, smoked marijuana, and did all the stuff I'm going to tell you not to do. I did it. So, praise the Lord. A couple things. One, we have communion tonight, so hopefully all y'all got your cups. Did y'all get your stuff? Amen. Invite someone to church. Last week, I don't know if I challenged this service. I hopefully did. To challenge you to invite someone to church Friday. Is that Christmas is Saturday, right? Okay. To church Friday, invite someone to church that you think will say no. Are you following me? You know, you can go up and ask your friends, say, oh, yeah, I want to come. I've been wanting to come. You can go ask them, but go invite someone that you know that you think would say no. And the reason being is you want to put yourself out there and just risk getting rejected for your faith. And if they say no and whatever they say, you just smile and say, you know, I'm going to pray for you. And does that mean you won't come? Okay. And just be a little persistent. Be a little persistent, very gently, and practice being bold with your faith. And how many of you have ever failed at something before in your life? Very good. And didn't kill you. You're healed today, and you're alive, and you're okay. You're not insane. So go put yourself out there. I already have had some responses of people since this challenge last week that have done it and gotten yes answers from people who absolutely are no people. And so they were very surprised and blessed, and hopefully that'll work out. When you leave tonight, I want to challenge you just to say thank you to the parking people who are out here in the rain since 5-something this morning, 6 o'clock when I came in to get here early, long before the sun comes up. Excuse me. That was a cough. Thank you very much. I was coughing. But I'll take the blessing. Go say thank you to the parking people who are out here. They'll be here till 9-something tonight, and just thank them for what they do and directing you where to go and stand out in the cold and rain. Amen? And lastly, everyone happy? Everyone happy tonight? Is anybody not happy tonight? Okay. Man in the back. How many of you have not started your Christmas shopping? Raise both hands. Let's see all the people. Yeah, there's my peoples. Friday night, Friday morning, fellas. Let's do it Friday morning. So wait till the last minute, or maybe even Saturday morning, right before the tree opens up, whatever. And remember us in your year-end giving as you get to the year-end in your giving tonight. So thank you very much. I appreciate it. Have a good night, and that's it for today. No, okay. Let's see your Bibles tonight. Let's see your Bibles say word. Let's see your pens. Lesson plan. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. You got it? Okay, now we're ready. Okay. I hear the pages turn. I'm just kind of, you know, just waiting, just looking at y'all. Lord, thank you so much for your Bible. Thank you for being good to us, and we pray you bless us tonight and challenge us tonight. And we just thank you that you love us. And we thank you that it is possible someone's life is going to change today. And we pray that the right people who need a change would take advantage of the opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. A few months ago, we had a ministry fair outside, and I was walking through the fair looking at all the booths. We had about 90-something booths of all the ministries. And this young lady started walking towards me. I don't know if she said hello or something, but she started walking towards me, and she was, you know, attractive lady, neatly dressed, and she came right up to me and stood about 6 inches away and dropped her head and started crying. And she said, 15 or 19 days I've been sober. I almost died. I just got out of rehab. I almost died. And I just want to praise God, thank the church for the help, blah, 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 blah. And so last weekend I saw her again. I was walking through Toys for Joy, and she jumped out in front of me. There was like a light bulb in her head. She was just glowing. And she says, I'm still sober, you know, just smiling like this. You would never, ever know that this young lady was almost dead from cocaine and alcohol. You saw her. She had no signs of that. She looked like, you know, just a regular healthy young lady in her late 20s. But she was this close to death. Every single one of us have a spiritual battle we are fighting, an unseen battle. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hopefully you realize that. And it's whether it be addiction or discouragement or disillusionment about something, anger, bitterness, jealousy, envy, blah, 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 blah. There's a spiritual battle raging for your life. As we finish the series called The Royal, and specifically the genre or literary style of apocalyptic language, we're going to look at the book of Revelation, and we're going to see a picture of this spiritual battle, a very vivid picture of what the spiritual battle is all about, and kind of get a history of it, a little bit of history of it. Now, if you remember last week and last couple of weeks, we've been looking at apocalyptic language. When you read apocalyptic language, you have to look for certain things. First, you want to describe what you see in your own words without trying to determine what it is you're seeing, because you're going to see images of things you've never seen on earth. And so the first thing you want to do is just describe what you see in your own words. Then you want to describe and decide whether the images or characters or creatures are fighting on behalf of God or the devil, because apocalyptic language shows, especially the book of Revelation, the battle between God and the devil, good and evil, the last battle. So you want to decide, are the characters fighting on behalf of God, or are they fighting on behalf of the devil? Because it's a war. It's a war. Matter of fact, if you ever think that your life is hard, you should conclude that sometimes it is because you are in a war. You're not at Disney. You're in a war all day long. Even though sometimes it may feel like Disney, you're in a war all the time. Spiritual battle. And so you want to describe the characters or describe what you see in the Bible. Then you want to decide, are they fighting on behalf of God or the devil? And then you want to ask, how does this fit in God's overall plan of judging evil and exalting righteousness and establishing an eternal relationship with God's people? And so those are the kind of things we're going to look at. So as we read chapter 12, I want you to just be, first thing we want to look at, I just want you to imagine what you read. Try to picture this in your mind. Excuse me. Try to picture it in your mind. And I want you to imagine you're reading, like watching Lord of the Rings or some science fiction movie. Because the stuff you're going to see in here, you've never seen before. It doesn't exist in our world. Okay, let's read it. Chapter 12, verse 1. It says, now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with a moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. All the ladies in the house say, hey. So when you get up and you get all purdy every day, you do your hair, your makeup, your mascara, your rouge, you know, that lipstick and all, whatever the stuff you put on, okay? Sometimes mascara is scary, okay? That's why I call it mascara. I went into this store one day, and the cashier, I don't know if she really knew what she was doing with her mascara, because I went up to the counter, I just went, wow. And I didn't know her. Usually I would say something, but I was like, I didn't say anything. But, you know, so you get up every day, you want to look radiant, glorious, beautiful, you know, just that's your thing. This girl, her girlfriend was clothed with the sun. She had stars on her head. That's bling. Verse 2, being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. Another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery dragon, red dragon, having 7 heads, 10 horns, 7 diadems or crowns on his heads. He drew his tail, he drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth, or angels became demons. The dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule the nations with a rod of iron. Jesus Christ is to rule the nations with a rod of iron, as written in Psalm 2:9. Her child was caught up to heaven to God and his throne. Jesus was ascended into heaven after he rose from the dead. The woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. War broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. Michael is an archangel. He's a fighting angel. If you think of another way to remember it is Mike Tyson is a fighter. So Michael, the archangel, is a fighting angel. Gabriel is an announcing angel. Gabriel announced Jesus' birth, John the Baptist's birth. Gabriel gave Daniel his vision. Okay, he's an announcing angel. Matter of fact, there was a guy who got saved here 2 weeks ago. He came down in a Charger jersey, and he came to me a week later at our Toys for Joy event, same event. He just jumped in front of me. You remember me? And I was like, help me out. He says, I came forward last week with a Charger jersey on. Now, people come forward 5 services, but I did remember him. And so we talked a little bit. So this morning, same thing. He, right over here, he jumped in front of me. You remember me? And I was like, yeah, this guy with the Charger jersey. He's like, I'm in this ministry. He's just like named all 5. He's just, the dude is on fire. I'm sitting to myself, this guy's going to be a pastor one day. I don't know if that's really what it's going to be, but he's like that. Like, and so I said, what's your name? He said, my name is Angel Gabriel. That's his name. I was like, oh, brother, you got God all over you. Okay. I'm for real. So this is Michael. He's fighting the dragon and his angels. Verse 8, but they did. The dragon did not prevail, nor was there place found for them in heaven any longer. So a great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old called the devil, and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. If you're writing notes, just write these notes in your Bible if you want to look these up later. But Luke chapter 10, verse 18, Luke 10, 18, Jesus says he saw Satan cast out of heaven like lightning. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever been fired before, but they kind of give you like a little time to clean out your desk and say goodbye to people. It wasn't like Satan. They didn't say, Satan, you know, take your time, say goodbye to all the other angels, you know, in a week, get out of here. They said, no, you're out of here right now. Lightning touches the earth 100 times a second. Lightning is the temperature of the sun. Now, I don't know if we're supposed to think about this, but every time you see lightning, you should just be reminded that the devil was thrown out of heaven. He ain't there anymore, okay? He's not there anymore. Verse 11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Everyone say blood of the Lamb. Amen. By the word of their testimony, say word of their testimony. Amen. And they did not love their own lives to the death. These are people, you want to overcome the devil, there's your key, and we'll come back to that in a minute. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, you who dwell with them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath because he knows his time is short. Now, when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. The woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness to a place where she was nourished for a time and times and a half time from the presence of the serpent. The serpent spewed out water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of the mouth. You ever see the waves come on the beach, and then the water just sinks into the sand? It's like the earth swallowed the water. And then it says, verse 17, and the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. Okay, here's a picture. A woman clothed with the sun. I have no idea what that looks like, but she was glowing. Can I get an amen? She had 12 stars on her head. Don't know what those stars look like, but they were stars. Are the sun is a star. The sun is a small star. There are stars so big that you could put the sun in the earth and have the earth go around the sun and still be in the same star. Let me say it this way. The sun is 93 million miles away from the earth. So if you double 93 million miles, you have 186 million miles as one goes around the other. Okay, so the distance from here to the sun is a radius, and you take a diameter, you double it. For all y'all who like math. So you got the earth going around the sun. Is that what happens? We go around the sun goes around us. Right, we go around the sun. There's stars so big that you could put that orbit inside the star, and it's still inside one star. That's how big there are stars out there that big. Now, how come they're not blowing us up? Because they're so far away. They look like a little dot. So here's this woman glowing like the sun, the moon at her feet, 12 stars on her head, and she's pregnant, having a baby. And there's a dragon, a seven-headed dragon, 10 horns, a crown on each head, waiting for the baby to come out to destroy the baby. When Jesus was born, he had a death sentence on his head. Herod said he was going to kill him. His mother fleeted. Jesus is born. He lives 33 years. He dies, is buried, rises from the dead. He ascends to heaven. And then the Bible says that the demon, the dragon, and his angels fight with Michael in heaven. There's war in heaven, and they fight. Imagine what that looked like. We were in Africa years ago. Excuse me. We saw rhinos fighting. Boom! Or have you ever watched Discovery Channel? You see rams on a hill, on a cliff, with their big horns. Boom! You ever see that? Imagine angels fighting. Big, gigantic, scarred up, gold teeth, tattooed angels with spears and shields and just... How do they fight? Thousands and jillions and tens of thousands fighting in heaven, and then Michael prevails over the devil and throws him out. Because by the way, the devil was only an angel. The devil was an angel, and he aspired to be God and dethrone God. That's why he got thrown out of heaven. The nature of sin, the foundation of sin, is you want to be God. You may not want to be the God in heaven, but you want to be in control of your life and do what you want. That's the foundation of sin. So the devil entices you to do what he did and to do what got him thrown out of heaven. If it got him thrown out of heaven, what's it going to do for you? Nothing good. So here's this woman having a baby. The baby gets born. The devil's like, ah! I don't know if that's what he was doing, but I'm just kind of making it up. Ah! Trying to get the baby, all the heads, and something to say. The woman gets saved. The baby goes, Jesus lives. He gets to heaven. The devil goes to heaven with all his demons, a third of the angels, and they fight and get kicked out of heaven. And now they're on earth chasing the woman, Israel and the church, the people of God, Israel produced the child, the church is the offspring of the child, and he knows his time is short. So you just saw this image. Now, what does all that mean? Let's look at our notes. Number one, in notes, the first thing we're supposed to do is read a chapter or the book a couple times. We just read it. Matter of fact, I tweeted last night for y'all to read this three times today or before today. So if you're not following me on Twitter, follow me on Twitter so when I tweet, you can get tweeted. Number two is that you want to ask, who is the vision, when you read apocalyptic language, who is the vision given to and on whose behalf? Book of Revelation was given to John on behalf of the seven churches. That's in your notes. It should be in your notes. And number three, determine whether the images or characters are acting on behalf of God or Satan. The answer is a seven-headed dragon is fighting against God and his people. Now, you may say, I don't believe in the devil. I would say the majority of people in this country believe that there is a God. They don't necessarily believe in God, and they don't necessarily believe that God is necessarily the God of the Bible. So there's a lot of disconnect. But I would say, in my opinion don't mean a whole lot, but less people believe that there's a devil. Because when they think of a devil, they think of this guy with red horns and a pitchfork and a tail, and that's the devil. The devil's not necessarily look like that. This is a metaphor of the devil, what we just read there, just like the woman is a metaphor. There was a guy in church, he was preaching actually, he's a preacher. And as he was preaching, there was a disturbance in the back of the church. Someone opened the door, and the devil walked in. People started jumping on chairs, jumping out the windows, climbing on each other, throwing kids down to get out. The preacher ran out himself. And the devil's going, come down the aisle. There's one dude sitting in the front, just calm as can be, reading his Bible. The devil stood over and said, "You know who I am?" He said, "Oh, yeah, you're Satan." He said, "How come you're not scared of me?" He said, "Brother, I've been married to your sister for 20 years. You can't stand me. Don't scare me." I'm just saying. Now, to be fair, ladies, there's she-devils and he-devils, okay? So I just will be fair. This just happens to be a she-devil joke. The devil is not necessarily an ugly being. The devil can masquerade as an angel of light. And so the devil is actually an angel who is in heaven who wanted to dethrone God and got kicked out of heaven. You cannot dethrone God. He wasn't voted in. It's not a democracy. It's a theocracy. He is in charge, period, exclamation point. You could put a comma there and a question. You could put all that stuff. It doesn't matter. He ain't changing. He's God. So the devil got thrown out. So he is very real, and he is everything opposite God. God creates, the devil perverts. By the way, when you call someone a pervert, what you are saying is that you have taken something that God created and misused it. So God created sex, and he has an intention for sex, and when it's not used properly, it causes death, pain, da-da-da-da. So God created sex, the devil perverts the use. God created truth, the devil calls it a lie. God created life, the devil perverted and calls it murder, death. And so the devil is everything opposite of God. Now, he's never, ever, ever going to tell you who he is. How many of y'all been to Vegas before? Okay, it's okay, it's okay. Sin City, you're a Christian, go there, and it's sin. Go there and evangelize. Yeah, that's right, evangelize. Hey, evangelize. When you go to Vegas, there's bright lights. It's all, and they're luring you with the bright lights. But what's in Vegas? Death. There's a lot of good shows in Vegas. My wife and I go to Vegas. We go to different shows. We're probably going to see the Jabberwockies there. You know, y'all know who the Jabberwockies are? Okay. Some of the guys go to church here. We almost had them here in January, but it's not going to work out. We're going to get them here another time. But they now are in Vegas. We're going to go see them. It's not saying the whole place is sinful. You shouldn't go. But there's a lot of deception there. What they see is here's the bright lights, make money. You got girls and all this stuff. But a lot of that stuff is just a trap to destroy you. It's never going to say, come in here and get bankrupt. You're never going to see some girl on the side of a truck that's ugly and say, come sleep with me and get a disease. That's not going to happen. They're going to say, you know, intimate company, we're going to make you feel, you know, whatever they say to lure you in to tell you it's good, but the tension is to destroy you. That's what the devil's about. He's a deceiver. And so God's going to tell you up front, here's what's going on. The devil's going to masquerade it, and he's never going to tell you. Hey, matter of fact, for all of you who smoke cigarettes, cigarettes are entry drug. Marijuana is an entry drug. What does that mean? You start smoking cigarettes, then you go to something else. And you may stop at cigarettes, but when you're, especially with teenagers, it's the first violation of their body, you know, one of them is a cigarette. Okay, get used to that and then smoke a little weed, get used to that, get a little cocaine, a little crystal, boom, boom, boom. Next thing you know, that's how it starts. Usually people don't just start off with heroin. Usually, you know, they want to ease into it. That's the devil's strategy. Am I saying cigarettes are bad for you? Most definitely they're bad for you. There's no doubt about that. But the devil is just, he just wants to lure you in. I use other drugs. I don't think I ever smoked a cigarette in my life, a real cigarette. I smoked the illegal marijuana cigarettes, but not the, you know, like the Marlboro. But I remember putting them to my mouth and faking it when I was real little. I just never did it, but, you know, it just starts like that. He's a mastermind of deception. Number four, after you describe what you see, then you describe what are they doing? You see a dragon and God and this dragon, seven-headed dragon, and in your own words, describe what are they accomplishing. And the answer is a seven-headed dragon is fighting to destroy the child. It's fighting to destroy the child. Now, the devil speaks three times in the Bible. How many times does the devil speak in the Bible?
Three.
How many times?
Three.
The devil does what in the Bible three times?
Three.
And every time he speaks, he tries to destroy the relationship between man and God. That's his goal. He speaks in Genesis chapter 3. He tells Adam and Eve that God lied to them. He speaks in Job chapter 1. He tells God that Job is playing him. He speaks in Matthew chapter 4, and he tells Jesus, the God-man, that if he bows down and worships him, he will give him all the kingdoms of the earth. The devil wants to destroy your relationship with God. He doesn't necessarily want you to sin here. He doesn't want you to get drunk. He doesn't want you to get high. He doesn't want you to be rich or whatever. All he wants you to do is reject God. Because if he can get you to reject God, then he got everything else. Because he knows the only thing that can save you is a relationship with God. And so if he can get you to reject God with money, he'll give you money. Try to give you money. Drugs, oppression, new teeth, new hair, new body, whatever can get you to be independent of God, he will try to get to you and facilitate. Just so you could be on your own and say, God, I don't need you, in however way you say that. And so he's a mastermind. So here he is trying to destroy the child. But understand what destroy the child, especially the people who follow the child, means. To destroy you means just to alienate you from God. Because if he can alienate you from God, he can alienate you from all hope of ever having eternal life or abundant life. Because the only hope of eternal life and abundant life is a relationship with God. And so even when you come to church, there may be some of you listening here or whatever, that you have an attitude against church. An attitude against Jesus or this church or whatever. Any way the devil can get you to say, I don't want that. I remember years ago when I was a little kid, Billy Graham, who was the greatest evangelist ever, was speaking at Yankee Stadium. When I was a little kid, I remember this like it was yesterday, looking at the stadium and saying, who does he think he is? Saying that in my head. What did I know? Who was I? But I just, something just had me feel that, like he's telling all those people, little did I know how ridiculously wrong I was. But if the devil can get you to reject God, Christianity, the Bible, anything that can get you to be alienated from God, he has won. And to get you to think you're okay without Jesus, he has won. That's his goal. Number five, how does this passage or what you read fit into the scene of the overall story of God's eternal judgment? Look what it says in your notes. It says, it describes a spiritual battle that we are currently experiencing. I don't know if you heard about the young boy who was 19 months old who was hit by a teen drunk driver. Has anybody heard that story? Okay, has anybody not heard that story? Okay, he's 19 months old. He was hit by a kid who was drunk, teenager. I believe the teenager is going to get 480 days in prison, and then his record will be cleared. The little boy is 19 months, is still in the hospital. He was in a coma. I think he's out of the coma now. He's paralyzed. I believe he's blind. And his parents are 21, engaged. Hospital bills are $20,000 a day. And some people from the church here had a fundraiser for him the other day. I actually went to the fundraiser and then went to the hospital to see him the other day. And he's in the hospital. They have pictures of him at the fundraiser with his stomach cut open. So what they can do is they can cut you open and leave you open and put a little, it looks like plastic, but I'm sure it's something better, and put it over your stomach. You can see right through it to your intestines. So when they operate, they don't have to cut you open. They just take it off. So this baby's been through. He's got a tray. He's got a little bag to go to the bathroom. He's just in a horrible situation. And I was talking to the parents, 21, two kids. How are you guys doing with God? How does this affect your relationship with God? And they said it's actually drawing us closer to God. When the devil, when you go through things that are bad, and by the way, God did not do that to that boy. The drunk driver did it. God is there getting them through. When things happen to us that we don't like, we have a choice. Do I submit to God and say, God, I'm trusting you to get me through? Or we do get attitude with God at the devil's lead, at the devil's advice, and blame God. And all of us have that choice throughout our whole life. And what we have to realize in this story is that this dragon who was after Jesus, who is now after his people, he's after you. Matter of fact, look what it says. Look what it says in verse 17. Verse 17, it says, the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. The devil is after you. Everyone raise your hand. The devil's after you. Christian or not, the devil's after you. Why? Because he was, whether you're a Christian, if you're a Christian, you have decided I'm following Christ, that means you're the devil's enemy. If you're not a Christian, you say I'm not following Christ, that means you're following the devil, and he's going to destroy you that much quicker because you don't have the wisdom and power of God on your side. Either way, you lose. Either way, you need God. And so this thing will tell you, not only is the devil after you now, he's been after Christ and his followers since before Christ was born. And he's going to be after him until Jesus judges him in the end of this book right here, Revelation. And so it leads us to the sixth question. What does this have to do with, how does this impact your faithfulness to God? This is what I hope it does. I hope it challenges you to say, I need God. Because the devil is not only more powerful than all of us in here. Can I get amen? He's powerful. He's so powerful and so smart that he can get you to hate yourself. He's so powerful and so smart and so deceptive, he can get you to look yourself in your own mirror at your own face and hate yourself and destroy yourself. When I was 24 years old, I was doing cocaine. I used to stand and look in the mirror and do cocaine. I would tell myself, I would say out loud, you're in the NFL. You're 24. You're doing cocaine. It's destroying your life. And then I would do it. Now, you may say, well, that's dumb. It was, but you're just as dumb. Can I get amen? I mean, we all do something that, now, you may say, well, I don't know about that, but we all do something that's self-destructive, knowing it. People you hang out with, how many of you know you got some friends or had some friends that you know were no good? You said things that were no good, you did things that were no good, you watched things that were no good, you ate things, smoked things, snort things, drank things that were no good. Can I get amen? And you knew it. You knew it. I went to a crack house while I was doing cocaine with my friend who was doing crack. We were both on the San Diego Chargers. We were players. Dumb. Going to a house. The whole neighborhood had bars on the house. We're going in at night, looking around like this, and knock on the door. It's all pitch black, no lights. Yo, come on in, come on in. We go in the house. Duh, it's like, we're like, lock me up right now. We're really dumb. The dumb criminals. We go in the house, and the guy says, the crack's in the back. I didn't do crack. My friend did. So he went in the back and did crack. I said, well, can I? I'm an inquisitive guy. So I said, can I go in the bathroom and watch the guy make the crack? He goes, yeah, go ahead. Go in, he's got a white tank top on, real dark brown skin, all ashy, just shriveled up like this, making crack. Here I am, defensive back on the San Diego Chargers. My other buddy's defensive back. He's in the other room, gone, la la land, hitting the pipe. And I'm in the bathroom looking at this dude for like a half an hour. At least we're in there talking, he's cooking crack. I mean, just imagine the police come in. Just imagine. I mean, we were like, that's never going to happen to us. We're invincible. Dumb. And I'm sitting there looking at this guy going, man, he's messed up. Everyone say dumb. 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 If anyone's more stupid in the room, it's me. I'm the dumb guy. I look in the mirror and God says, what are you doing in the room? You're in the room with him. How long ago was he in your chair? How long will it be before you're in his chair? I'm never going to do that, God. You said that about cocaine. So he makes a crack. The knock on the door comes. My buddy comes to the door. They put the thing in the pipe. And he smokes it right in front of me, right here. And I thought he was going to go like vaporize. He's like, you want? I said, I don't want none of that. So I go in the other room because I wasn't good by any stretch. But I was being a little smart. So I go in the other room, get out my cocaine all by myself, nobody around to enjoy with, no nothing, just no teeth, nothing. I'm just sitting there by myself. Oh, yeah, this is the way you do it. And I'm doing cocaine going, what am I doing? The devil says, you're killing yourself is what you're doing. And you're doing it at my command. Only by the grace of G-O-D, J-E-S-U-S. Only. Now, The devil, without Christ in your life, oh, he will chew you up and spit you out. No mercy. I talked to a lady today at this church, a prostitute for 3 years. She says, I was in the Navy, got married, got a divorce, fell in hard times. I had nothing. Ended up stripping, became a prostitute. Had a pimp, dealt with that, got out, went on my own, was a prostitute on my own. Broke down. God saved my soul. She said, I was doing stuff I just could never imagine I would ever do. Two guys a day, every day. Now, you would never know it if you saw her, which is irrelevant, but God preserved her. She's in school, she's saved, she's on fire for Jesus now. But the point is, the devil don't care. The devil does not care. He will beat you to the ground and convince you it was God's fault. That's how good he is. Now, the good thing is we have the Bible. And look what it says in verse 11. It says, how do you overcome the devil? One, by the blood of the Lamb. Everyone say blood of the Lamb. And by the word of their testimony, say word of their testimony. But you can't love your life to the death. Blood of the Lamb. Jesus Christ died for our sins. He shed his blood. He's the Lamb that was slain. And you ask Christ to be your Savior. His blood cleanses you of your sin. Not only that, you walk with him faithfully, and you have a testimony. What is a testimony? Let me tell you what a testimony is not. You die, you go to heaven, you stand before God, and God says, tell me about Jesus. What is your testimony with Jesus? Well, you know what happened was my parents prayed for me all my life, and I went to church when they brought me to church. I ain't never killed nobody. I was a good citizen. I paid my taxes. And Christmas, man, I was there every Christmas, Lord. I was there every Christmas representing your birth. I was there. And that's my testimony. That's not a testimony. That's what you call a cultural United States wannabe Christian who's on his way to the flames. That don't describe anybody who just grew up in America. That's it. A testimony is, my life was jacked. I was blind, now I see. Christ gave me spiritual sight, and here's how he and I walk together on a daily basis. Here's how he carried my burdens. You will have burdens. Here's how he encouraged me when I was discouraged. You will get discouraged. Here's how he got me through the thick and thin of my life, the good times and the bad times. Here's how he transformed me. Here are the gifts he's given me. Here are the people that he helped through me. This is my testimony, my story, my story. And by the way, if you walk with God, and this is a guarantee from the Lord God of heaven, if you walk with God, you will help people you will never meet. I was watching a guy on YouTube yesterday. He was preaching. Well, he was preaching. He was doing some Bible thing, and I got his phone number and called him up. I said, brother, I was just watching you on YouTube. He goes, Miles, you changed my life when I was 12. He's a pastor in L.A. I said, you're killing me. He said, no. And he started telling me all the stuff I was saying. When you came to my high school. I saw you when I was junior high. I came this. I said, brother, I want to come. He's got a church of like 200 people in L.A. 5 years. I said, you're going to make me cry. He kept saying every 5 minutes, I can't believe you're talking to me. And then at the end he says, you know, I don't have any dead preachers I look up to, but if I did, you'd be one of them. I'm like, I'm not dead yet. Don't kill me, man, just so you can have a dead preacher to look up to. You walk with Jesus, God's going to be throwing stuff through your life that you'll never know. And you'll come back years later and people come to you and say, you did this, you encouraged me, boom, boom, boom. That's your testimony. Matter of fact, this is my opinion. I wonder if we get to heaven, God's going to say, stand right here. Tell him. And he starts sending people to your life that he changed through you. That would be the bomb. Wouldn't that be the bomb? And people you never seen it in your life from all over the world, who's now, in this age, everything's global. I saw you on YouTube, and I was in Russia, and I was in the basement of a coal dungeon. And right before I died, I gave my life to the Lord because of something you did. and I'm in heaven. Jesus, the word of your testimony. A friend of mine who I've been witnessing to for 10 years, he's still not saved. That's a long time. That's kind of irritating me. I keep telling him, you're blowing my average, man. You're 10 years. Usually don't take this long. Me and him are boys, but he won't get saved. And he says, when I die, Miles, I'm just going to tell him I know you. So you're going to be standing in line. You're going to come to the front of the line to get to heaven. And they're going to say, tell us your testimony. You're going to say, well, I know Miles. And they're going to stop everything in heaven. And they're going to come grab me out of my line and bring me over there and have to explain that. That'll be another war in heaven. I had to beat him up right before I get in. Lord, can I just do one more thing? Yank! Okay, can I come in now? Look, it says in verse 11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. When you give your life to Christ, you have to say no to your life. I don't want to be what I want to be anymore, God. I want to be what you want me to be. And by the way, God made you to be a Lexus, and you're trying to live like a Volkswagen. So you're hanging on. I want to be a Volkswagen. I want to be a VW bug. God says, no, you're a Lexus. You got surround sound. You got 20s. You're not riding on roller skates. No, God, no, you don't understand. You're a Lexus. You're a four-wheel drive going through whatever he made you, and you're trying to be something small. You say, Lord, I don't know what you want me to be, but I want to be that. Trust me, you want to be what God wants you to be. You want to be happy? Oh, yeah. So we're going to pray, and we're going to have you give you an opportunity to give your life to Jesus, give your burden to Jesus, give your spiritual battle to Jesus. And by the way, we have communion, then we're going to take communion. Lord, thank you so much that you love us. Thank you so much that you have an incredible plan for our life. Thank you so much, God, that you have been so patient with us, because sometimes we could be so hard-headed. Thank you that when I was in that crack house, the cops didn't come that day. My life would have been changed forever. Maybe I wouldn't be standing here now. It's by the grace of God that you protected me through those hard times. It's by the grace of God that that prostitute I spoke to today, former prostitute, is healthy, disease-free, on fire for Jesus, going back to school, and was just crying crocodile tears because she couldn't believe that God loved her and would have a plan for her. We thank you that you are that kind of God. If today you need to surrender your life to Jesus because you know the devil is just too big a match for you, you know your sin will destroy you, pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. You know who you are. You know who you are. In the privacy of your heart, pray, dear God, I believe that I am a sinner. I believe I need Jesus. I believe there is a devil and that he's after me. But I believe that Jesus is greater than him. So Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want to be born all over again, born of the Spirit of God. Thank you, God. Thank you for waiting and being patient. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer, in a minute I'm going to ask you to stand up and acknowledge that you prayed that prayer and acknowledge that you are surrendering to Jesus. Pray that prayer. Today is the first day of a whole new life for you.